Thanks for listening to Blue Sky Radio. Today is the 27th of September. This is at Radio Waterloo, 102.7 FM here in Kitchener and Waterloo, southwestern Ontario. You can also find us online at radiowaterloo.ca. Today I'm interviewing Seneca Crossland. She is the executive director with Canadian Horse Defense Coalition. Their organization have brought a lawsuit against the Canada Food Inspection Agency, the CFIA, regarding live shipping of horses to Japan, specifically cramming more than one horse into each crate, confining them into these crates. They're supposed to be segregated past 14 hands, but they are putting up to four horses per crate. So thanks again for listening, and here is Seneca, and she has more information about this topic.
Thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be here. I'm Seneca Crossland, and I'm executive director for the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition, and we have launched a lawsuit against the CFIA, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency. So I'm here to tell you a little bit about what that's all about as the show proceeds today.
Awesome. So could you please tell our listeners what role the Canada Food Inspection Agency play in the International Air Transportation Association?
Sure. I'll give you a little bit of a background here first. So Canada is a member of the World Organization for Animal Health, and we're a member of that organization, and that puts us under the IATA guidelines, the International Air Transport Association, which is a trade association of world airlines. And its live animal regulations, that's the worldwide standard for transporting live animals. And so the OIE, or the shortened form of the World Organization for Animal Health, recognizes those guidelines, the IATA guidelines, as the international standard for live animal transport. So that puts Canada into a position where Canada and the CFIA are expected to implement those standards.
I see. So regarding the health of animal regulations, which is the basis for your lawsuit, could you tell us a little bit about the health of animal regulations regarding this?
Yes. So these are law, health of animals regulations. They're law. There are two sections that are being broken when horses are exported to Japan for slaughter. And one is head clearance. It's section 142. Head clearance says that their heads must not come into contact with the roof of the crate. And section 141.8 says that horses basically over 14 hands high, which is just over pony size, must be segregated for air transport. So a lot of horses that are being sent are draft crosses, which, as most people know, are huge horses. They are not pony size. And so those two sections are being broken continually when this trade is taking place. Horses are being put into these crates and transported across overseas to Japan.
So who is it that's supposed to uphold the regulations, in fact?
The CFIA, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, is in charge of making sure that the regulations are followed. Huh. And a CFIA veterinarian in charge signs off that the shipments are in compliance. Of course, if those regulations are being broken, then in fact, the shipments are not in compliance.
Over time here, we have shared lots of photos via Canadian Horse Defense Coalition, and many, many times we've seen that horses, there's like four horses in the crate. I've seen pictures of crates where the tips of the ears are sticking out. So obviously this is happening routinely. So how are they able to do this?
They're doing it because they think they can. Nobody has, I won't say nobody has contested it. So many people have contested it, have written letters and said, look, this is what you're doing, and this is against the law, and please don't do it anymore, stop this. But it's still happening. And my own belief is that it's happening because they think that we're not strong enough to be able to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
And, as it is, it's profit for them. It's you know, it is a trade, you know, transporting these live animals for slaughter, and so they think that they can just keep doing this.
Yeah, there's a huge profit for the people that are actually selling the horses. I've heard something like that these draft horses are worth $20,000 at the time when they're in Japan. Like the delicacy aspect of it, I guess, puts the price up quite a bit.
That's correct, yes.
That's really brutal. How did the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition first become involved with this issue?
Well, it was way back in 2012, and we were made aware of the shipments by people who had seen and observed this happening at Calgary Airport. And actually, at that time, these wonderful people were miles ahead of us. They had already done the research. They realized that what was happening was against the HAR, or the Health of Animals Regulations. And so they made us aware of it, and it's been since that time that we've been pulling access to information documents. We've been collecting more and more, an endless supply of pictures and video, it seems, that we have by caring people who have collected all this information. And so we have a ton of evidence, and so then we found out also that it's just not only Calgary, but it's Winnipeg and Edmonton also doing these shipments, and it's all because caring members of the public came to us in the first place.
Yeah, it's really incredible. This horse slaughter industry in general is something that definitely is done mostly behind closed doors, and something that the general public doesn't seem to be aware of. I mean, there's a lot of competition for our attention nowadays, and we are really able to, I guess, you know, be like the ostrich sometimes and hide away from things that are really brutal. And so thank you so much. This is one of the reasons that I started this radio show back in the day when I started it a few years ago, was to be able to raise awareness and help you guys on the front lines of equine advocacy, especially because, you know, horses are animals that have done so much for humans over the years, and still to this day we benefit from them in so many ways. And, you know, our hope is that when people see these pictures, because it's really horrifying to see these beautiful, beautiful beings stuck in the crates, and the horror has just begun for them. So, you know, what is it that you're trying to accomplish as far as the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition? What are you trying to accomplish by taking the CFIA to court?
Yeah, as our lawyer has said repeatedly, that the law is very clear. It's actually, it's very clear, couldn't be clearer. So there are those two sections of the law that are not being met. And so basically what we're asking is we want the CFIA to adhere to the law, just like everyone else is expected to adhere to the law. We feel that the CFIA must adhere to the law as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that would make sense. I spoke to somebody, and I'm not sure how true this is, but there was talk about the potential of changing the regulation. I'm not sure, like that perhaps one of the agencies are trying to change the regulations as far as the number of horses in the crate, and that would be a way to get away or get around these, you know, then they would just change the regulations and then they can put as many horses as they want in the crate. Have you heard something about that?
I have, as a matter of fact, and that's the proposed amendments to the Transportation of Animals Act. And sure enough, they have a couple of stipulations in there that would change this whole scenario if it were to go through. That they would horses, they say that horses can hold their heads up, some depending on the type of horse and the size of horse and so on, that they can hold their heads up or down, whatever they like. But no, I have horses myself, and I know that they don't generally like things up above their heads. And if you see the horses in the cage, you look at them, and they're bending their heads down. They're keeping, because they don't want to come in contact with the crate. So that is not a natural position for the horse.
No.
You know, the horse has a certain natural position, and if those ears are touching the top of the crate, the horse can feel that, and they don't like that.
No.
And as far as segregation goes, they are trying to argue that they can put, it's better for the horse, you know, they get put in the crates with their buddies. Well, how in the world do they make sure that the horses are going into the crates with their buddies that they're used to? They're coming from a feedlot. They're put into trucks for transport. That's a whole fallacy there that they are not put into the crates with their buddies. They're you know, perhaps by some stroke of luck they might end up in there with a friend, but they're putting so many into the crates, and the people that are putting them in there don't take the time to make sure that horse A goes in with horse B because they get along so well.
Mm-hmm. So who is pushing for making, I suppose, the changes worse for the horses? Like, when we're talking about that, the amendments that some people would like to see really make it worse for the horses, who are the individuals or groups that are pushing for this?
I'm sorry, so making it worse for the horses?
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, I mean, a group such as yours that is trying to advocate for the compassion of the horses, who is on the opposite side of this? Who is it that's trying to make the regulations worse for the horses?
Well, industry. They want this trade to continue because it's profitable. So industry is pushing for, let's cram as many horses into the crates as we can. Let's not be concerned about that. If horses all needed to be separated, one per crate, well, obviously there wouldn't be as many horses being transported, single shipment. So it's all about the money that's driving this. And, of course, the CFIA, the government, is obviously, they're fighting this tooth and nail that they want this to continue, so we know whose side they are on.
That's really interesting. Do you want to talk a little bit about the public support for the horses that you have seen come forward regarding, for example, that volunteers are spending time at the airport trying to get photos and videos? The public support for the horses is quite strong. What other ways have you seen that people step up for the horses?
Well, they've been writing letters to their MPs, their members of parliament. They've been writing to the Minister of Agriculture, and just repeatedly, and sending us the copies of the letters so that we can see what is being said and if there's any changes and so on. And so we collect all of this information. And, people have been super, just super great. And they have started petitions. They've launched petitions to help create awareness and get people, the petitions are then sent to the politicians, to the government, and so on. And in so many ways, and some have, donated monetarily, it's all out there. Awareness is out there, and that's great.
Mm-hmm. Another really troubling part about all this is that Canada has no jurisdiction once the horses have landed in Japan. What kind of information do you have regarding when the horses have landed, if any?
Yes, it's true. Like, once they've landed in Japan, Canada has no jurisdiction. That's it. They're at the mercy of whatever happens at the other end. We have seen some photos from feedlots in Japan where these horses are held, and of course it's the same thing as over here, manure piles and flies and so on, and they're kept there and they're fattened up and before they're slaughtered. And the case of fattening, too, is very inhumane, because horses are they're not healthy when they're fat, they're prone to foot problems, to a condition called founder, when they're too heavy. So that's whatever happens at that end, though, we don't know the process of slaughter that they have there. So we can only imagine, and that we feel too is unfair that we don't. These are horses from Canada, and we're sending them over there, and then we're not responsible for what happens or whether whether it's something inhumane that happens at the other end.
Mm-hmm. I know. When I was watching the video that was on Global News, And at the time when the interviewer asked Rebecca regarding, you know, the jurisdiction in Japan, and at the time when you were watching the video, you could see the horses coming out of the crates, and they really hesitated, and they're looking down to kind of see. They're not even sure that the ground is going to hold them. Like, it's heartbreaking to watch it. The failure on the part of humans here is really unbelievable. But like so many things that are happening, good people need to get involved because other people are profiting. Like, I mean, this kind of scenario we can only imagine in our nightmares. And a lot of people, even who say that they love horses, they don't really want to talk about this. They say it's too much for them and they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. And people are implicated in ways when they send their horse to auction or a lot of trading of horses. And people are involved in getting horses to slaughter. And they get away with it because they are okay to make this money off of the horses. So I again thank you so much for bringing so much awareness to this. And also thank you to Catherine Betts, Canadian Wild Horses. And so many people are helping to get this done, and the awareness is definitely needed. So I'm curious, what happens next at this point?
Okay, so our affidavits are being filed this week. That's the evidence that we have collected. And our lawyer has put together, and then from what I understand, the CFA will file theirs, and then sometime, hopefully later, it'd be nice to get this going into the fall, but we're not sure, there will be a hearing. It's a judicial review, so we're not suing the CFA for money. We are asking them to uphold the law. There's nothing to do with going after them for money or anything like that, but we want them to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is really the way to go about it. The lawsuit is tremendous. Congratulations on that. Getting this information across Canada so that more people can get involved and contact their MPs and making sure that this stays at the forefront of people. Because this is one of those things where, you know, trying to have a good life, but knowing that this is happening, to me, it's really difficult to know that my good life depends on this is not what I want to be involved with, and that's why I'm putting this time into getting this information out there. But I hope that more people will get involved. And so many people of the general public, too, when they find out about this, they're truly horrified. You know, when people find out, they don't like to know that our country is shipping horses overseas. And I know that very few people really truly do make money off of it, but many horses are suffering.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So this is expensive, obviously, to have a lawsuit going. How do you, Canadian Horse Defense Coalition, how do you get funding for that?
Well, what happened, it was a sad thing to start with. One of our supporters passed away, and we were devastated to lose her, but she did leave a bequest for us, and so we could start out with that. That was sort of like seed money for that, and beyond that is the generosity of compassionate donors that helped to move this forward, and we're just, you know, hoping that we can go ahead step by step, and, you know, and funding this thing, and once we started, well, we're in for a penny, in for a pound. That's all I can say.
Yeah, definitely. Is there any way that listeners can help?
Well, yes. Sign the petitions. You know, that's a big thing. Circulate the links. We do have one official petition that put forward by MP Mark Holland, and that's a really important one to sign, that, you know, if Canadians can sign that, because that's going to be presented in Parliament. And write letters to editors of local papers about the issue, meet with your MPs, write letters to Ottawa. Please donate if you're in a position to do so. All those kinds of things can help.
Mm-hmm.
Forward.
Definitely. Well, your organization, you're doing tremendous work. I've supported you for as long as I've known you existed, and the whole issue of horse slaughter and the transportation for such purposes is a very uphill battle, and many people discourage you from getting involved, or, you know, they say, oh, it's never going to happen, things will never change, but the only way anything can ever change is by raising awareness and people getting together and really demanding change. And especially if the Canada Food Inspection Agency have a law to uphold, there's really not much to refute from their point of view, other than the fact that industry wants this to happen and that maybe monies are being exchanged that we're not aware of. And but again, with the general public getting more on board with this and finding out and writing letters, you know, this might be the thing that can turn this, and that would be awesome.
Yes.
Do you have any parting words for us here?
Well, I guess if David could take down Goliath with one stone, then surely we can't be afraid to confront the CFIA. We're, after all, we're only asking them to adhere to the law. That's what we're doing. And as people working together, we've got the combined power to uphold justice and everything that's right and good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the words of Mahatma Gandhi, what he so wisely said, be the change that you want to see in the world. And hopefully these steps taken for horses will result in some change for the good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your compassion and your hard work. And to everybody on the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition team, you guys are doing awesome. I'm really proud to have you on the show today, Seneca.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And let us know also, and let us be updated on your topic as well.
We'll keep in touch.
Okay. Thank you so much, Seneca.
Right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was Seneca Crossland, and she's the executive director with the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition. And we've been following, for anybody who is familiar with Blue Sky Radio, formerly known as Blue Sky Horse Radio, you would know that horse slaughter is something that we are against, and we are trying to raise awareness for the fact of it happening. And the live shipping of horses to Japan is something that's been going on for a while, for some years now. Behind the scenes, away from the public's eyes. And I'm sharing photos right now from Canadian Horse Defense Coalition and also from Canadians Against Live Shipping or Live Export on the Facebook page for Blue Sky Radio. And I'm also putting together a video together with these photos and the conversation that I just had with Seneca. So thank you so much for listening to Blue Sky Radio. My name is Jennifer Yenny, and this is Radio Waterloo. You can find us online at radiowaterloo.ca. Here in Kitchener and Waterloo, we are 102.7 FM. We are a nonprofit organization, and thank you so much for listening, and please help get the word out about these horses, because they haven't done anything wrong, and maybe we can help make the world a better place.